Released from.
Tashahi.
Lust or material activities.
Ubagiyamana.
Which is described or sung.
Baba Oshadat.
Which is the right medicine for the material disease. Shrukta. The process of oral reception.
Manaka.
The subject matter of thought for the mind.
Abhiramat. From the pleasing vibrations from such glorification.
Kaha.
Uttamashloka.
Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Aguna Anuvadat.
From describing such activities.
Puman.
A person.
Vinajeta.
Can keep himself aloof.
Vina. Except.
Pachugnat.
Either a butcher or one who is killing his own personal existence. So translation. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is performed in the Parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished by those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death. Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self? You can repeat. Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Is performed in the Parampara system. That is, it is conveyed from spiritual master to disciple. Such glorification is relished.
By those no longer interested in the false temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation.
Descriptions of the Lord are the right medicine for the conditioned soul undergoing repeated birth and death.
Therefore, who will cease hearing such glorification of the Lord except a butcher or one who is killing his own self.
So purport by divine grace. A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In India, it is the practice among the general populace to hear about Krishna either from Bhagavad Gita or from Srimad Bhagavatam in order to gain relief from the disease of repeated birth and death. Although India is now fallen, when there is a message that someone will speak about Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, thousands of people still gather to hear. This verse indicates, however, that such recitation of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam must be done by persons completely freed from material desires. Nivritta Tarsahai. Everyone within this material world, beginning from Brahma down to the insignificant aunt, is full of material desires for sense enjoyment, and everyone is busy in sense gratification. But when thus engaged, one cannot fully understand the value of Krishna Katha, either in the form of Bhagavad Gita or in Srimad Bhagavatam. If we hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from liberated persons, this hearing will certainly free us from the bondage of material activities. But hearing Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by a professional reciter cannot actually help us achieve liberation. Krishna Katha is very simple. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as he himself explains, Matak Paratram Nanyat Kinchit Asti Dhananjaya. O Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me, Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter 7th text. Simply by understanding this fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can become a liberated person. But especially in this age, because people are interested in hearing Bhagavad Gita from unscrupulous persons who depart from the simple presentation of Bhagavad Gita and distort it for their own, for their personal satisfaction, they fail to derive the real benefit. There are big scholars, politicians, philosophers, and scientists who speak on Bhagavad Gita in their own polluted way. And people in general hear from them, being uninterested in hearing the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from a devotee. A devotee is one who has no other motive for reciting Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam than to serve the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has therefore advised us to hear the glories of the Lord from a realized person. Bhagavat paradhyo bhagavata stane. Unless one is personally a realized soul in the science of Krishna consciousness, a neophyte should not approach him to hear about the Lord, for this is strictly forbidden. By Sanatana Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, who quotes from the Padma Purana, Vaishnava Makod Giranam Uttam Harikatam Dam Shavanam Naiva Kartapyam Sarpo Jishtam Yatabaya. One should avoid hearing from a person who is not situated in Vaishnava behavior. A Vaishnava is Nivritta Trishna. That is, he has no material purpose, for his only purpose is to preach Krishna consciousness. So-called scholars, philosophers, and politicians exploit the importance of Bhagavad Gita for distorting its meaning for their own purposes. Therefore, this verse warns that Krishna Katha should be recited by a person who is Nivritta Trishna. Shukadeva Goswami epitomizes the proper reciter for Srimad Bhagavatam in Parikshit Maharaj, who purposefully left his kingdom and family prior to meeting death. Epitomizes the person to hear it, fit to hear it. A qualified reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam gives the right medicine, Bhavoshadi, for the conditioned souls. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore trying to train qualified preachers to recite Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita throughout the entire world so that people in general and in all parts of the world may take advantage of this movement and thus be relieved of the threefold miseries of material existence. The instructions of Bhagavad Gita and the descriptions of Srimad Bhagavatam are so pleasing that almost anyone suffering from the threefold miseries of material existence will desire to hear the glories of the Lord from these books and thus benefit on the path of liberation. Two classes of men, however, will never be interested in hearing the message of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam: those who are determined to commit suicide and those determined to kill cows and other animals for the satisfaction of their tongues. Although such persons may make a show of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam at a Bhagavata Saptaha, this is but another creation of the karmis, who cannot derive any benefit from such a performance. The word pashugna is important in this connection. Pashugna means butcher. Persons fond of performing ritualistic ceremonies for elevation to the higher planets must offer sacrifices, yajnas, by killing animals. Lord Buddhadev, therefore, rejected the authority of the Vedas because his mission was to stop animal sacrifices, which are recommended in Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. So, Nandasya Girvidera Shruti Jatam Sotaya Vidaya Dashita Pashu Gautam Keshavadrita Buddha Shavira Jaya Dagadisha Hare Jaya Dagadisha Hare. Jaya Jagadisha Hare. Of course, that's from the Gita Govinda by Jayadeva Goswami. Even though animal sacrifices are sanctioned in Vedic ceremonies, men who kill animals for such ceremonies are considered butchers. Butchers cannot be interested in Krishna consciousness, for they are already materially allured. Their only interest lies in developing comforts for the temporary body. Bogashvarya prasatanam paya parit dachet sam yavasayat vika buddhi samado na buddhiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination of devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place from the Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter, text 44. Srila Narottama Das Thakur says, Manusha Janma Poya Radha Krishna Namabhaja Yajaniya Sriniya Visho Koinu. Anyone who is not Krishna conscious and who therefore does not engage in the service of the Lord is also Pashu Na, for he is willingly drinking poison. Such a person cannot be interested in Krishna Katha because he still has a desire for material sense gratification. He is not Nivritta Trishna. As it is said, Atraya Vargikaste Purusha Vimukha Harimedasaha. Those interested in Trivarga, that is, Dharva Artha Kama, are religious for the sake of achieving a material position with which to gain better facilities for sense gratification. Such persons are killing themselves by willingly keeping themselves in the cycle of birth and death. They cannot be interested in Krishna consciousness. For Krishna Katha, topics about Krishna, Krishna consciousness, there must be a speaker and a hearer, both of whom can be interested in Krishna consciousness if they are no longer interested in material topics. One can actually see how this attitude automatically develops in persons who are Krishna conscious. Although the devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement are quite young men, they no longer read materialistic newspapers, magazines, and so on, for they are no longer interested in such topics. Nivritta tarshahai. They completely give up the bodily understanding of life. For topics concerning Uttama Shloka, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the spiritual master speaks and the disciple hears with attention. Unless both of them are free from material desires, they cannot be interested in topics of consciousness. The spiritual master and disciple do not need to understand anything more than Krishna, because simply by understanding Krishna and talking about Krishna, one becomes a perfectly learned person. Confirmed. Yasmin vijate sarvam evam vijatam bhavati. That means one who knows Krishna knows everything. The Lord sits within everyone's heart, and by the grace of the Lord, the devotee receives instructions directly from the Lord himself, it says in the Bhagavad Gita. 15th chapter, text 14. Sarvasya chaham rati sarvishto matakshmirti vijnanam apovanam cha vedais cha savaraham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda ved eva chaham. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas, I am to be known indeed. I am the compiler of the Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Krishna consciousness is so exalted that one who is perfectly situated in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the spiritual master is fully satisfied by reading Krishna Katha as found in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, similar Vedic literatures. Since merely talking about Krishna is so pleasing, we can simply imagine how pleasing it is to render service to Krishna. When discourses on Krishna Katha take place between a liberated spiritual master and his disciple, others also sometimes take advantage of hearing these topics and also benefit. These topics are the medicine to stop the repetition of birth and death. The cycle of repeated birth and death, by which one takes on different bodies again and again, is called bhava or bhava rog. If anyone willingly or unwillingly hears Krishna Katha, his bhava rog, the disease of birth and death, will immediately stop. Therefore, Krishna Katha is called bhava shuddha, the remedy to stop the repetition of birth and death. Karmis are persons absorbed to material and attached to material sense enjoyment, generally cannot give up their material desires. But Krishna Katha is such a potent medicine that if one is induced to hear Krishna Kirtan, he will certainly be free from this disease. A practical example is Dhruva Maharaj, who at the end of his tapasya was fully satisfied. When the Lord wanted to give Dhruva a benediction, Dhruva refused it. Swamin Pitato Smi Varam Yaje. My dear Lord, he said, I am fully satisfied. I do not ask for any benediction for material sense gratification. We actually see that even young boys and girls in this Krishna consciousness movement have given up their long practice of bad habits like illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. Because Krishna consciousness is so potent that it gives them full satisfaction, they are no longer interested in material sense gratification. Long story short. So again, Nivritti Tarsha Rupa Giyamanat Pavoshadat Shotra Mano Biramat Kautama Shloka Gunan Vadat Uman Virajetu Vada Oshutnat. So Om Ganat Chimananda Shah Gananjana Shlokaya Chakshur and Miritam Gena Tasmai Shri Garve Namaha. So the question may arise in regard to this verse is that we are not actually free, at least probably most of the people in this room, not free, are not nivritta tarsha, are not free from lust. So, still, we are hearing about Krishna. But, because we are not nivritta tarsha, Shurubat Yandini Rajandra Rinam Shanti Sahasa Saha Apashatam Atlatatam Graheshu Grahimadivnam. That is, those who are not free from lust, what Rinam Shanti Sahasa Saha, they're interested in hearing a lot of things. Like Prabhupada gives this comment here that the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement are not interested in reading newspapers. Of course, that's a little dated comment because not so many newspapers. I guess there still are newspapers. When I was first joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement, they were selling newspapers. There were newspaper delivery boys. There were machines in the airport that had newspapers. Now, no more newspapers. Now it's internet, CNN, Fox News for most of you. And it's interesting, and Prabhupada says that, but you know, honestly, can we really say we're no longer interested in those things? Can anyone raise your hand if you say you have not read in the last week Fox News, CNN? One person has it. Two people have it. So two out of all of us. Two of you are nivritta tarsha. The rest of us are anivritta tarsha. Anyway, so what do we do about this? And as far as having a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, I remember one Janmashtami with Srila Prabhupada, where Srila Prabhupada had us read the Krishna book all day long. And not only all day long, practically all night long. Were you there in Vrindavan during that year? No. So anyway, Prabhupada, one year for the Janmashtami period, Prabhupada did this thing called Bhagavad Dharma Discourses in New Vrindavan. And it was on top of the hill, and it was muddy. It was raining all the time, just like today. And I remember they had to carry Prabhupada up in a palanquin because no car could get up there. It was so muddy. And there were the deities there. Beautiful. Anyway, there were giant Jagannath deities there and Radha Damodar deities. Anyway, so Prabhupada during Janmashtami night kept us reading from the Krishna book till about 3 in the morning. It was interesting. Well, I didn't think it was interesting then. I thought it was torture then. But anyway, he kept us reading. And, I wasn't the one doing the reading. When I say us, it was the devotees reading. And Prabhupada was saying, read another chapter. And the devotees were praying to Krishna. Can we end this now, Prabhupada? We're hungry. Oh, it's also interesting that Prabhupada had them prepare a full grain feast that night. Originally the devotees were preparing an Ekadasi feast for midnight, and they told Prabhupada, no, it's an Ekadasi feast, and then Prabhupada said to them, no, I said full feast. So at 9 o'clock at night, all the devotees had to go out and open fires while it was raining, because New Vrindavan, the kitchen wasn't big enough for cooking for a lot of people. So they had to go outside with these open fires and then cook a whole feast after 9 o'clock at night. So anyway, but the feast wasn't at midnight, so Prabhupada kept asking for one chapter after the other, and Prabhupada was getting more enthusiastic and more energetic the whole time, and we were getting less enthusiastic and less energetic. Probably looked like a morgue or something, with only one live person in the temple room. And then probably about 3 o'clock in the morning, Prabhupada looked around and said, is that all right? Everyone went, joy, Prabhupada! All of a sudden, joy, biggest joy you've ever heard. So I said, okay, you can take the feast, And then Prabhupada got up early the next morning. It was already the next morning. It's not that Prabhupada slept till 10 o'clock, Prabhupada was right there for the Vyasa Puja the next day, and during the Vyasa Puja, it was also up on the hill, and then we had a big cake fight in front of Prabhupada, which is really nice. Prabhupada gave out his cake, and all the devotees were piling on top of each other to get a piece of the cake and punching it into the cake. And Prabhupada was laughing during the whole thing. Prabhupada was amazing, really transcendental. And before the devotees ate the cake, they asked Prabhupada, so is it all right to eat in front of the deities? Because it was right in the middle of the program, in front of the deities, in front of the Prabhupada said, no, it's all right, take prasad. So it was just, anyway, it was an interesting year with Prabhupada. I think it was 72, 73, I forget which year it was. So the point is that Prabhupada had a taste, he was definitely Nivritta Tarshar, and the rest of us were not. So what do we do about it? Because we're attracted to hearing Rinam Shanti Sahasrat Staha. Apashatam Atma Tattva. We are blind to Atma Tattva. Atma Tattva means like the truth of the soul, basically the information about the soul. Rinam Shanti Sahasrat Staha. Thousands of other topics we're interested in. Graheshu Grihimadinam. We're just interested in our home, our body, and all these other things. So, and here on Janmashtami, you get a lot of people. But every other day, sometimes Mangalarti is just me and the deities and the pujari. So, and if we had, and even if we had an evening program, if there was no food, nobody would come either. It would just be me at the Sunday feast. But Parikshit Maharaj, he was not only fasting till midnight. Parikshit Maharaj was fasting to 7 days, for 7 days. And this statement here is not Shukadeva Goswami's statement, incidentally. This Parikshit Maharaj speaking. Because in the beginning, then after this, Shukadeva Goswami begins to speak. But Parikshit Maharaj is asking Shukadeva Goswami, come on, let's get to the nectar now. It's the seventh day, ready to die. Okay, let's hear about Krishna's pastimes. The previous verse, Parikshit Maharaj says, the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, the cause of the cosmic manifestation, appeared in the dynasty of Yadu. Please tell me elaborately about his glorious activities and character from the beginning to the end of his pastimes. That's the previous of his life, actually. but it means past times. So really, this is Parikshit Maharaj begging to hear more after 7 days of fasting and not sleeping either. So anyway, so I raised the question at the beginning of this. So what do we do about this? Well, one thing is we have this thing called Vaidhi. Vaidhi is interesting. It means rules and regulations. Parikshit Maharaj was not on the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti. Neither was Shukadeva Goswami. They were both on the platform of Prema Bhakti. There's different stages in the progress of Bhakti. Of course, the first one is Vaidhi Bhakti. Vaidhi means rules and regulations, which is under Raghunuga. Which is under Sadhana, which means practice. And then there's Raghunuga, which is also under practice, which means spontaneous. Then you get to Bhava Bhakti, which means really emotions, Asta Sattvika Bhava, Vyabhachari Bhava, Sanchari Bhava, all these different types of emotions that are manifest. And then finally you have Prema Bhakti. So these two personalities here are on the platform of Prema Bhakti, but just to be honest, most of us are on the platform of Vaidhi, which means rules and regulations. So that means we have to really use our intelligence to discriminate. Like Prabhupada said, discrimination is the better part of valor, right? Discriminate between matter and spirit. Like Prabhupada is making this very interesting point in this regard in the purport about when he quotes from the Padma Purana, Vaishnava Mukodgyanam Purtam Kali Katam Matam Shavananaiva Kartavyam Sharpo Chistiyatapayam. So that's part of discrimination. It says that the translation of this is that someone should not hear from someone who is not Krishna conscious, not a Vaishnava. Of course, even that refers to someone who is, let's say, wait, a Vaishnava or materialistic person. Like someone may ostensibly be a Vaishnava, but if their real interest is in material aggrandizement, one has to be careful. Because it's called putam harikatam ratam. It's like poisonous harikatam ratam. And the reason is sapra-chisti-atapayam. It's like milk touched by the lips of the serpent. So what does that mean exactly? First of all, harikata, or the name of Krishna, has to descend from the spiritual world. It's not simply, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, it's not simply a movement of the lips and tongue. It's not simply that you can just move your lips and tongue and harikata is there. I mean, it may be namabhas, yes. That's namabhas chanting, but that's not para, not transcendental. Namabhas chanting is good. It's good for liberation, you know, not going back to Godhead. It's good for getting you free from karma. It's good for that. So just like Prabhupada or Bhaktivinoda Thakur give the example when a Muslim was attacked by a boar, a big pig, he says, haram, haram. And he got liberated. But it's not that he went back to Krishna Loka and heard Krishna playing his flute after that point. So that's what Namabhas is good for. I mean, it's exalted. I mean, you can't even compare it to all the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. It's fantastic. But it's not going to take you back to the spiritual world. So we're interested in hearing the Shudanam. And the Shudanam descends, just like the statement by Narottama Das Thakur, Golokera Premadana Hurinama Sankirtana, that the holy name descends from Goloka Vrindavan. But how does it descend? As Prabhupada gives a purported translation here of this particular verse, which is not actually in the Sanskrit. Prabhupada oftentimes would do that. He said, it's performed in the Parampara system. Now, if you look at the Sanskrit, there's nothing about parampara in the Sanskrit. But it's there. in the translation, because that is a purported translation, which is done in accordance with Prabhupada following the acharyas, because the acharyas do that. They do give purported translations. So sometimes someone may criticize, you know, why is it there in the translation? It's not there in the Sanskrit. But Prabhupada is realizing this, and he's conveying what the previous acharyas have taught us. So it's performed in the Puran. So in other words, the holy name has to descend through the parampara. Sampradaya vinai mantras te nishpala mataha is another verse for you. That if you get a mantra and it is not coming down in the sampradaya, it doesn't work. Like sometimes devotees, even they pick mantras out of the Vedic literature. One devotee wanted to learn how to fire a brahmastra. You know, brahmastra and brahmastra weapon. So he somehow or other he found the weapon, the mantra. Brahmastra, Namaha. It was like, for him, it was like Karna at the final stage of his pastimes when Karna forgot his mantra and Arjuna was able to kill him. Anyway, it didn't work. So sometimes we take different mantras that we haven't received in disciplic succession. It has to be given by the guru. The guru has to give in disciplic succession the mantra. And then the mantra works. So that's the miracle of disciplic succession. Just like right now, we're very concerned about the electrical system in this new hall we're building. So basically, things have to be connected to the powerhouse. Actually, today, because we don't have a powerhouse, we're having a generator. Because you can't do that in spiritual life. You can't just bring a generator. A spiritual generator, if you're not connected to, is a simple succession. So Prabhupada in the purport here talks about this very famous thing in India we call Bhagavad Saptaha performances. I mean, there's no problem hearing about the Bhagavatam or from the Bhagavatam for 7 days. It's great. I mean, if a devotee does it, it's great. But there is some propaganda that if you go to these Bhagavad Saptaha performances, and I'm using the word performance deliberately, rather than classes, that after 7 days you're going to get liberated, because Parikshit Maharaj heard about the Bhagavatam or heard from the Bhagavatam for 7 days, and so it's going to work for you in the same way. And it doesn't. And so primarily, in these Bhagavad Saptaha performances, there's talks about the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and when they get to the other aspects or the parts of the Bhagavatam, then there's hardly anyone there. That's when people go out and eat during those particular times. And this Prabhupada was very upset with those particular occasions. And generally, the people who are doing that, their lives, they're not free from lust. The hearers are not free from lust, nor the speakers are free from lust. And I'll give you a practical example. One time in one temple, was in this temple, we arranged a bhajan performance by some famous bhajan people. And the devotees were sitting there listening to the bhajan people, and they were just feeling ecstasy. What do I mean thinking we're feeling ecstasy or someone was feeling ecstasy? We're conditioned souls. And we have a tendency to make mistakes. Right? We have a tendency to be an illusion. We have a tendency to have imperfect senses. And above all, we have a tendency to cheat others. So really, one has to be honest with themselves. So you could say, well, that was ecstatic. All right, so get it. Getting back to that particular bhajan singer, so after his whole group was finished, a famous person, then the band asked for liquor. And still everybody was thinking, wow, what such a nice bhajan. I felt so Krishna conscious. You know, it's Krishna consciousness is not like that. It's like that demon in Krishna Loka, Palambasura. Everyone knows Palambasura? He's a coward boy. He wasn't a coward boy, but he acted like a coward boy. And so, you know, sometimes because we make mistakes, we're an illusion, and have imperfect senses and all the other nice stuff, we can think something is spiritual when it's not spiritual. And vice versa. When, you know, people would sometimes attend Prabhupada's lectures and Prabhupada would just get angry at a Mayavadi. Prabhupada had this famous expressions like, you know, kick on their face with boots or something. Why was that? Because if you love Krishna, if you love someone, then you just want to beat up someone who criticizes the person you love, right? Like if you have a little baby and someone goes up to you and says, it's your baby, and you say, that's an ugly baby. I mean, come on, if you don't get angry, what kind of mother or father are you? You know, just nonsense. Nonsense mother and father, right? So Prabhupada's getting angry was a bhava, an emotional symptom. You know, someone criticizes Krishna, you know, someone says that, you know, Krishna has no legs and no arms and no eyes, you know, it's just like saying your kid is blind, dumb, deaf. You know, just like, that's fighting words. So anyway, so people would criticize Prabhupada, oh, how spiritual is that? But that was an amazing spiritual manifestation to see Prabhupada angry, right? And what do we have in Prabhupada's pranam mantra? You know, nirvishesha shunyavadi paschacha deja. Prabhupada came to the Western world and India to get rid of this impersonalism and void in them. Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschacha deja turning. So people can get confused and they think this is amazingly spiritual when it's completely mundane. Or they can think that something's completely mundane when it's amazingly spiritual, right? So that's why intelligence is required. It's called Buddhi Yoga. Krishna in the Gita calls that Buddhi Yoga. Buddhi Yoga means the yoga of intelligence, to discriminate. This parampara, what does parampara mean? Parampara means has to be a member of one of the four paramparas. And following, the spiritual master has to be a servant of his spiritual master. Like that, many times I've stated that the way we know Srila Prabhupada is the best disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the objective way we know is because the Prabhupada took the words of his spiritual master as his life and soul, the same words that were given to many of his godbrothers, not a criticism of many of his godbrothers, but the same words that were given to many people, many of Prabhupada's godbrothers who spoke English, and Prabhupada did it without any, you know, followed without any consideration, isn't it? Of health, safety, you know, 7 years old, heart attack, bad health, not coming over in an airplane, in a freighter. And Prabhupada did that without any personal consideration. He just said, you know, those are the words of my spiritual master, I'm going to do it. That's objective, so that's intelligence. That's how we know that Prabhupada, that's an objective standard. Samit Panish Rotariam Ramanishtam. An objective standard as far as Prabhupada's situation, then in Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, objective standard. So these are all members of the disciplic succession that objectively we can see that they are connected. It doesn't take too much intelligence to understand this particular point. And so that then you understand, yes, those are the persons I should hear from. And Prabhupada also says here that he empowers his disciples to do that too. It's not that we just say, I'm going to hear from Prabhupada. You know, one devotee one time said when Prabhupada left the planet, he said, we're just going to play Prabhupada's classes in the morning, nobody else's classes. But Prabhupada liked to hear his disciples' classes. If someone is following Prabhupada, then I'm not saying that they're not, obviously, they're not equal to Prabhupada, but they're empowered by Prabhupada. So, you know, that's why sometimes we appear a little fanatic in the Krishna consciousness movement, because we know we have the right thing. I mean, other people may have the right thing too. We're not criticism of anybody else. But the separate succession. So they'll only hear from those who are absolutely sure they're following. It's although there's a statement that no one should sit on a Vyasa san unless they're free from lust. And I'm not saying, let me get a comment, God forbid. But, you know, because Prabhupada has asked us to do this, that's why I'm doing it. And, you know, I'm striving to represent Prabhupada, and therefore Prabhupada is free from lust, and I'm just his dog. You know, we can't make any statements about ourselves. So in other words, we have to be very careful who we hear from, or else it will have poisonous effects. What does it mean, sarpa chistiyatapayam? I know it means milk touched by the lips of the serpent, but it means that instead of the bhakti lata bij growing, there's other creepers that can be cultivated at the same time through improper hearing. That's the karma bij, jnana bij. Beach means like a seed, but there's also the creeper. That means the desire for fruit of activities, or fruit of, that means gross things you want, or desire for liberation, or desire for, you know, any other desire. Nyabhi lashita shunyam jnana karma navritam. Just like Prabhupada said, when commenting about, actually, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in Prabhupada's commentary, then when commenting upon the Gundicha Marjana story, you know, the cleansing of the Gundicha Marjana, one has to make sure that every little speck of dust is out. Like Lord Chaitanya cleansed the temple twice, and then he actually criticized or chastised devotees who weren't doing the proper cleaning in the temple. So we have to be very careful who we hear from, or else these other desires come up in the heart. Karma bija, jnana bija, you know, because it's karnam guna sangasya sadasa jnana jonishu, as Bhagavad Gita says. You're associating with the modes of nature. And then suddenly other desires arise from bad association. At satsanga chad, another statement by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was what? When he was asked about the quality of a Vaishnava, we just have 5 more minutes. A satsanga chaga Vaishnava chara. First quality is a Vaishnava avoids bad association. Bad association means those who are averse to Krishna consciousness and those who are materialistic in the name of Krishna consciousness. I mean, of course, we don't go around fault finding someone, you know, just because someone has 2 mobile phones, that means they're materialistic. I have 2 mobile phones. So, one of them probably going up there. Doesn't mean that, but one has to be satsanga chaga Vaishnava chara, and then also sadhusanga, sadhusanga, sarvasa shrikoi. Lavamatra sadhusanga, sarvasa dihoi. One has to seek good association. And so that's really the point that's being made by Srila Prabhupada in this verse. Just be very careful when you hear about, or whom you hear about, Krishna from. And be careful of your own consciousness when you're hearing about Krishna, when you're chanting Krishna's names, and understand this. And don't become complacent. Because we are extremely fortunate to be able to hear from Srila Prabhupada, to be able to hear this Krishna Katha. I mean, well, it cures all, another meaning of Nivritta Tarsha, it cures all miseries. Bhavoshadot Shodra, which means it's like, Bhavoshadin is like, means medicine, like Ayurvedic medicine. It also means like a tasty Ayurvedic medicine, Bhavoshadot Shodra. You know? So, in other words, it cures all the diseases. We're so fortunate. We should thank Krishna for every day that we're here in the Krishna consciousness movement, having this association with His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, and be very careful to avoid offenses so we don't lose a taste for hearing and chanting. So, anyway, these are some of the points I wanted to make. So any questions or comments? We have a few more minutes left. Questions, comments, arguments? Yes, sir.
This verse presents that why Krishna appears. So that part, Maharaj, can you
relate it? Why Krishna appears? You want me to tell you why Krishna appears?
states Bharata Singh told that
before that. Yeah, and then Krishna appeared. We're going to be reading a Krishna book today, but anyway, the reason for Krishna's appearance are various. He has external reasons and internal reasons. His external reasons are described in the Gita. You know the Gita verse? Prichanaya sadhanam vinashaya chadushkutam. He comes to establish religious principles, protect the devotees, and get rid of the duskritinas, like he did with all the unfortunate or fortunate people in the battle of Kurukshetra got killed. That's one purpose. But Prabhupada said that Krishna doesn't, at the beginning of the Krishna book, Prabhupada said Krishna doesn't have to come down to accomplish those purposes. He actually comes down for his own purposes, to enjoy rus. And two things. And to display for us what are the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so we don't give in to this imaginative iconoclasm. You know, I'm just paraphrasing what Prabhupada said. In other words, people generally, they project their own conceptions upon the absolute truth. For example, let's take in many aspects or how people accept Jesus Christ. It's not a criticism of Christianity, believe me. Like if you go to certain countries, they depict Jesus Christ as looking like them. You know, blonde hair and blue eyes. If you go to Africa, Jesus Christ is depicted as black. And if you go, I guess, to the Eskimos, it'll look like an Eskimo. So people generally, they project their own conceptions of life upon the absolute. So Krishna comes down to show us what he's actually like. Prabhupada makes that point in the Krishna book, so that we can become attracted to him. Otherwise, we will speculate. And there was one Greek philosopher who said one time that if horses had God, he would look like a horse. So the that's a big problem. So, I guess you get the point. So yeah, Krishna came down to show us what he's like, so we'll get attracted to him, to enjoy the indirect rasas, like ghastliness, anger, and other things that are not fully manifest in the spiritual world, and also, incidentally, to kill the rasas.